So, 10 years ago, you blessed me with my first sabbatical. And that theme for my sabbatical 10 years ago was pay attention to God right here and right now. And that's when I first got my camera out to help me with that. See, the camera is one of those tools that demands that you pay attention to what's right in front of you, right here and right now. Right? When you're taking a picture, you are taking a picture. I'm taking a picture of you, Andy, right now. I can't be thinking about the Broncos or something. It's now, right here, right now. So this tool, this camera, was to help me pay attention to God right here and right now. And lo and behold, God showed up in a lot of different ways. God did not disappoint. In particular, for me, God was showing up in the grandeur of Mother Nature and in landscapes and in flowers and in animals and sunrises. Not very many sunsets, but sunrises, I saw God a lot. And so I went and I was photographing and paying attention to God right here and right now. And I had this opportunity to go to the state of Maine. Now, you need to know this. When I was a little boy growing up in South Dakota, I would imagine that all those silos that I saw in the farmyards, they, in my mind, I pretended, were lighthouses out on the coast of Maine. Why Maine? I have no idea. I never knew anybody from Maine. I didn't know anything about Maine. But there was something inside me that Maine. And so I would imagine, I knew there were lighthouses at Maine, in Maine. And so I would imagine as a little boy, and I always dreamt of going to Maine. Well, 10 years ago on my sabbatical, I got a chance to go to Maine. Now, I dreamt, like I said, to go in Maine, even while I was waiting for a call. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and I was wondering, will God call me somewhere? And you ever felt like that? Yeah, you feel like that sometimes, don't you? And so you wonder, will God ever call me to a place to serve? And this sense of Maine was inside me a lot. So I went to Linda and I said, you know, we've been waiting for a long time and I still have this sense of Maine inside me. And Linda was very beautiful and quick to respond, that's not God's voice. She was clear about that. It's really wonderful to live with somebody who knows and helps clarify God's voice for you. And she was clear. Now, that might be a vacation voice going on inside you, Michael, but that's not God's voice. And she was right. But now I found myself years later in the state of Maine. Not only that, I was lucky enough to be on a small, tiny little island all by myself. And it was October in Maine. Oh my, it was stunning. So I got my camera out my first night there. This little tiny little boat took me out there. It's about a mile or so out, and dropped me off. And he said, "I'll see you in a couple days." I felt a little uneasy about that because I just had my summer sausage and some cheese and some water, and that was it. There's no electricity on this island. There's no running water or anything like that. But then he left, and I got all kind of set up, and then the sun was going down, and so I went out on this rock, because that's the thing about the coastline of Maine I've discovered. It's not sandy beaches. There's not really a lot of sandy beaches. It's just rock. So I went out on this rock, and it's starting to get dark, and I was setting up my tripod, and then something happened that I still can feel right here. I heard this crack. And it was my camera falling to the ground and hitting this rock. Don't ever make that sound around me, because I will do what I did then. I started to cry. And I could hear it hit this rock, and then parts of it, because it went into pieces, parts of it started sliding down this rock towards the water. And I did. I started to cry. It's like, oh my gosh, I have dreamt about being in this place ever since I was a little boy. I was wondering what would it be like to see God in the state of Maine. And here I was in the state of Maine, and I had my camera, which was going to help me pay attention to God right here, right now. And then, bam, it was sliding down towards the water. And I started to cry. And I thought, how will I experience this now? And then, guess what? God showed up. Who knew? God showed up in a voice in my head, saying very lovingly, and the way God needs to speak to me sometimes, Michael, I thought this was about you and me. I don't need the camera. Now, I had more conversation with God. I said, yeah, but golly, this would have been really cool. But God showed up when I was looking for God, watching for God, anticipating God showing up. But God showed up in a way that I didn't even think was possible at the time. And I dreamt about this God coming out there in the future when I was a little boy out on the coastline of Maine with lighthouses around. And God did show up, but in different ways than I thought God was going to show up. But isn't that interesting that sometimes we can spend so much energy and thought into what it's going to be like when God comes in the future. Which is good, because God is going to come in the future. It's promised. Okay? It's promised. But what I've discovered, and maybe you've had this experience too, that sometimes I can put so much focus on how it's going to be when God shows up in the future, it's at the expense of me noticing and paying attention to God right here and right now. And in this season of Lent, we have this beautiful invitation to watch, be alert, anticipate the God that is coming to us, the God that is already here with us too. That both and God coming and God is already here. And I was starting to wonder what would it be like to be so focused on God present right here and right now. To be watchful, to be alert of God right here and right now. Well, I went to a movie this week. And maybe you've heard about it, maybe you've seen it already. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. About Fred Rogers. How many have seen it? Yes, you've seen it? Yes? So for those of you that haven't seen it, I'm happy to go with you. I will see it over and over and over again. So Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, not just a TV show, but a real man, Fred Rogers. And in this movie, I was reintroduced to Fred Rogers, this man who invited us, who introduced us to our neighbors. That was his whole premise, introducing us to our neighbors and being neighbor. What does that look like? And for Fred Rogers, it really wasn't that complicated. And he introduced us to neighbors that sometimes got overlooked. In particular, people, some of our neighbors that might be differently abled than us. Fred Rogers intentionally introduced us to our neighbors that might be living and moving about in their lives in a wheelchair. He also introduced us to our neighbor that had a different skin color than I had. And he intentionally invited us to be introduced to these neighbors. And then also, what would it be like to be neighbor for our neighbors? And it was really fascinating to me that as he lived this life of being neighbor, and neighbor wasn't somebody you just lived next to. No, that's not neighbor. Neighbor, well, he would do it in his introductions. When he would introduce you to a neighbor, he would not just say, "Courtney, I'd like to introduce you to Jill, who happens to live in the same area." No, no. That's not how Fred Rogers introduces you to a neighbor. It was, "Let me introduce you to this remarkable individual, this person who has this remarkable story that is just this wonderful being, and you are going to be so excited to meet and learn about this neighbor. This neighbor has things and does things that you don't do, and it's so cool. I can't wait for you to get to know this neighbor." And so by the time you met this neighbor, it was so cool to meet this neighbor. And in a time when often the neighbors that he was introducing us to were neighbors that at the time, like neighbors that had different skin color than me, sometimes they were not thought of as highly as somebody else. Or somebody who lives and moves about in their wheelchair. He lifted them up as this valued part of our neighborhood. And this person to be celebrated, not just noticed, but to be celebrated. And in doing so, when you got a chance to meet your neighbors through this introduction from Fred Rogers, it was a delight. When you think of Fred Rogers, how many of you have your blood pressure rise? How many of you have your blood pressure just go, "Ah, why?" Because when he introduced us to our neighbors, it was done in love, in respect, in valuing the other, celebrating our differences. And when you met your neighbor the way Fred Rogers would introduce us to our neighbor, I'm just going to say, God shows up. Right there, right then. And it's this beautiful gift that you didn't know you were going to get that day until he introduced you to your new neighbor. And he did it in times when there was darkness. He was not doing this to the darkness or this to the trauma that was going on in the world. No, it was right in the midst of that. Right in the midst of that. You know, his mother used to tell him that, she said, Fred, when you see something traumatic, like on a news story, we've had some lately. You were just reminding me there was another shooting in New Orleans, stabbings in London, and we can go on and on and on and on. You know, isn't it amazing that there's a scripture that says, "Seek and you will find"? My question is often, though, what am I seeking? Because if I'm looking for the darkness, if I'm looking for the trauma, if I'm looking for the bad news, I'm going to find it. And abundantly so. And I think Fred Rogers was fully aware of that. And his mother was fully aware of that. And so his mother would say, "Fred, when you see these traumatic things, look for the helpers. Look for the helpers. They're there. You'll find them. If you are looking for the helpers, you will find helpers." And then Fred would say, "And then when you found the helpers, you also found hope." In the midst of this traumatic thing, not turning our eyes away from it, but in right smack dab in the middle of it, we're going to look for the helpers. And you'll find hope there. And I'm going to say, you'll find God there. Right there, right then. So during this season of Advent, we have this beautiful invitation. This invitation, in these times of the color, this blue, it was described to me, this color blue was intended to be kind of the color of the sky right before the sun rises. A lot like your blue, Gloria. A lot like the blue that you have. It's that color of blue right before the sun rises. And in that time, we have this invitation to stay awake, be alert, be on the lookout for the God that is coming and is already here. And in doing so, we also have this invitation to let our light shine, like in the litany that we have for a lighting of the Advent candles. You responded, "Let our light so shine. Let our light so shine." These are words that we hear often at our baptisms. Let our light so shine. Why? So people will notice. Why? So that they can glorify our Father in heaven. Another way of saying that, let your light shine so people will see that God is here now. That the hope is here now. The love is here now. The grace and the forgiveness is here right now. So in this season of Advent, sisters and brothers in Christ, may we be on the watch and the lookout and stay alert and let our light shine so people will know the God of love is here today, right now. Amen.